Our guest tonight, Richard Dolan. It is Friday night here at Coast, and you know what that means. Open lines. We're going to be doing all of that next after this short break. I'm your host, Jimmy Church. This is Coast to Coast AM. Welcome back, Coast to Coast AM. I'm your host, Jimmy Church. Follow me on Twitter at JChurchRadio. You can also follow Rich Dolan at Rich Dolan. Richard, why? Why Rich Dolan?
Hey, you know, for many years before I was Richard Dolan, I was Rich Dolan. Many of my friends knew me that way. When I was really little, I even had other nicknames, so how about that? But as a younger version of myself, yeah, when I first entered the UFO field, 20 years ago or more, I went by Richard and by Rich alternately. And then over time, it just kind of became Richard. But the Twitter account, I don't remember how or why it's set up that way. Maybe someone had Richard. I actually don't remember. So it's Rich underscore or Rich Dolan, whatever it is. Rich Dolan on Twitter.
Have you found, and I want to let the audience know that Richard and I have talked a lot over the years, and we have very engaging conversations both on and off of the air. But we have a comfort zone where you and I can go anywhere that we want to go. And so I'm going to ask you this. Let's just go here. Mm-hmm. Have you found yourself going through different phases in your career in the way that you have to interface with the audience? In that, did you free will it at one point and say whatever you wanted to say and didn't have concern, and then found yourself checking yourself and maybe thinking before you spoke, and then maybe as you've gotten older, you just don't care and you're going to speak what's on your mind? Have you gone through those changes?
Yeah, absolutely. 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 So I went through a period when I learned that every single thing that I could say publicly would potentially go online, because this is when, you know, smartphones became a thing in the, like, 2007, 2008. I realized that anything I said at an event, I couldn't just talk off the hip anymore, which I think I was inclined to do. I'm still inclined to do that when I get worked up over something. It will happen. But I went through a long period where I really tried to be very, very measured about every public statement I make. And just lately, I still actually believe in that. I try to be very careful and responsible. But I'm at a point where, in a different way, in a new way, I find myself cutting loose a little bit more and being less afraid of saying exactly what is on my mind in a public context. And I don't know if that's a good or bad thing. Sometimes we're better served by not speaking out because we don't always say the right thing. But I'm at a point. I'm 3 years shy of 60. It's just astonishing.
I can't believe that. I can't.
I know.
I can't believe that. And it was a couple of months ago, and you had said something to me on the phone, and you said, Jimmy, you and I are in this for the long haul. We are going to do this together, and we are going to figure this thing out, right? And you remember that comment to me. And this is the thing. Are you going to, as you're turning 60, are you going to turn into the cantankerous old guy that's just angry and going to push this thing until the wheels fall off?
Cantankerous, I'm sure. Yes, I've got that whole thing to look forward to. But seriously, dedicated, I'm taking this issue right to the end, right to the goal line.
Yep.
I can tell you, like, for me personally, I am energized. I feel so dedicated and focused on understanding this incredible mystery. UFOs to me, it's the centerpiece. But it's not the only big thing that I'm looking at. I mean, what we're seeing is that the UFO phenomenon and also this virus response that we're seeing now. I was going to mention a Bill Gates thing. I can get to that. But all of this is moving us to the next phase of our existence as a species. And, you know, I don't know that that's a good or a bad thing, but it's definitely happening. It's absolutely happening. There's no stopping this process. We're moving to a new phase of human existence of such a fundamental nature that it's only happened really a couple of times before in our entire existence as a species, and we're moving into another one now, and that's fundamentally, you know, the transhuman phase.
Yeah, I wanted to jump in really quick because I'm looking at a couple of phone calls that have come in. It is Friday night, Richard. You want to take some calls?
Sure.
Because I have somebody that's driving a truck right now in Atlanta, and we just have to take this call. Let's do this right now. Sure. Luke, driving a truck in Atlanta. Welcome to Coast. How are you?
Oh, man, how you doing? Well, right now the rain's coming down pretty hard, so I hope you guys can hear me.
No, we can hear you. Yeah, and I just want to say, Luke, to you, thank you. These are very, very trying times, and you guys and gals are out there getting it done for this great country of ours, so thank you so much.
You know, sometimes I'm worried. I know I see most of the country is going to be shutting down, but trucks still got to keep going, so I hope all my fellow truckers out there are putting on gloves and wearing a mask if you got it, especially when you get into the truck stop, because some of those places could be pretty hairy without the coronavirus.
Now, Luke, I know you have a question for Richard, so let's get to that in a second, but I just want to ask you, what kind of tractor are you driving?
Oh, I got a 53-foot, Peterbilt.
I needed to ask. Okay, Luke, what do you have for Richard tonight?
Hey, you know, I always thought about this. Now, I do believe aliens came. You know, they might have helped us with the pyramids. They might have tried to, you know, give us knowledge and stuff like that. But at one point in time, I think they might have just given up on us. Like, I think I remember in the Bible reading that, you know, at one point when David, I believe, all the people were scared of God. They didn't want to hear from God. They'd rather hear from, like, David, King David. And then God says, well, you know what? I'm going to just turn my face from them. And I think somehow maybe extraterrestrials or aliens or intelligent life out there probably were so smart. They really wanted to help us. And then maybe they thought that they couldn't. And then another part thinks maybe we're just a reality show for these guys. You know, like The Sims, like the video game The Sims. You know, you create a little character, you make it drink water, you make it get a job, you build it a house, and you control that character. And I'm thinking maybe that's what they're doing.
Luke, let me jump in, Luke, because I can already see the wheels turning in Richard's head right now. Richard.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Some great ideas there, Luke. The first one relating to kind of a biblical interpretation that brings the extraterrestrial equation in there. I mean, I don't really know how to answer that one way or another. I guess I could say a big maybe. But what I would say that would kind of agree with you is that when I look at the likelihood of alien interaction with our species, my opinion is that I think that there probably has been a very low-level, long-term monitoring that in all likelihood picked up dramatically in the middle of the 20th century when it became obvious that we were on the fast track to some high technology. I think that's what actually got a lot of attention. So that in ancient times, I still, even now, I haven't figured out what I think about the whole concept of ancient aliens and astronauts. I think there's something to it. I don't deny that. But I wonder how prominent it really was in our society. So there's that. And the other question, The Sims, yeah. Oh, my goodness. You know, depending on the day of the week, I sometimes wonder, are we just someone's character in a hyper-dimensional video game? You know, sentient programs. I mean, what you're saying is not outrageous anymore. You've got, you know, simulation theory hypotheses out there, Nick Bostrom and everyone else following him along, saying, yeah, we're in Elon Musk. You're in his company saying, yeah, we're probably just in a big simulation. Base reality, not a chance. So there's a lot of folks who think that we actually are a creation. And honestly, I think about this, I wonder, is it radically different from ancient theological perspectives that essentially said we are simply actors in the mind of God. Not that different.
No, it's not. Luke, no. Thank you, my friend, and be safe out there on the open road.
Oh, fade to black, brother. Fade to black.
I'll talk to you, Luke. Wow, there you go, Richard. A fader not just called in.
Love it.
Yeah,
that
you got to love that. This is back to your point. And I'm going to get to another call here in just a second. But back to your point, yep. If you look at it realistically, up until the mid-1800s, it was still just fire in the wheel. That's
right.
Really as far as we had gotten. So, yeah, maybe we were just observed and weren't that interesting until we made the big turn, right?
That's right. That's right. I think that's exactly it. So we were interesting. I'm sure we had potential in their mind. And probably if they were smart enough, understanding the normal trajectory of an advanced civilization, they probably would realize, yeah, at a certain point, they're going to become very interesting.
Let's go to
science and tech.
Yeah, absolutely. Let's go to a wild card, Crystal, from my state of Indiana. Crystal, you're up next on Coast. Welcome.
Hi, thank you, Jimmy.
Thank you, Crystal. What do you have for Richard Dolan?
My first question is, if I can ask, who is Richard? I'm pretty new to this. I've been listening, and I'm not familiar with his name. And I'm not familiar with what he does.
Okay, interesting, Crystal. Crystal, thank you for the call. We were just actually talking about this subject, Richard, right before the show. And how do I describe what I do to somebody that doesn't know?
I will gladly describe what I do, Crystal. I'm a historian by training. About 25 years ago, I became obsessed with UFOs. I mean obsessed. I mean like staring at the ceiling through the night, trying to figure this out, becoming completely having my head turned around by thinking, is this phenomenon real or not? And I was really lucky at that point in my life because I had a decent historical background and I was able to incorporate that. And I just threw myself into UFO literature, UFO books, and then ended up writing several big fat histories of the UFO subject called UFOs and the National Security State. And that's, I think, what got people to know me as a person in this field. And I've done a couple of follow-up books, and I've written a lot of articles, and I do a lot of YouTube. But fundamentally, I'm a UFO historian.
There you go, Crystal, and click on Richard's name, or you can click on my name there at Coast to Coast AM, and go and follow through and check out Richard's books. And we have done countless interviews over the years, and they're all great. And you can go and listen to those, and welcome to the family, Crystal. Okay, be safe out there.
We will. My dad, Al Cathy, he has been a longtime listener, and I started tuning in here and there, and I am just fascinated. I had an experience when I was a child, and what got me was the show the other night, it would have been on the 10th, they was talking about reptilians and aliens, and I know people may say, oh, you're crazy or it's silly or whatnot, but it's not. I'm not one of these, it happened.
Yeah, Crystal, like I said, welcome to the family. And once you get into this community and start hanging out with people like Richard and myself, you'll find that you can speak about this to anybody in this community. And what you're saying right now is nothing new to Richard Dolan or myself. So you're insane. Yeah, go ahead, Richard.
I'll just add, in all the years, I've spent a lot of time talking with people one-on-one about all kinds of things, not always about UFOs, but then they discover that I'm interested in UFOs, and I see this little light go on in their head, and they suddenly realize they have had a deep hunger for information and knowledge about the subject. It's actually, it's so widespread But not everyone realizes that they have it until something catalyzes that. And they realize, my God, I'm actually fascinated by this and I want to know. And it's very widespread, but it's been dampened by, for many, many years, by our culture. It's been pushed down, but I do think things are changing a bit.
They are changing. And let me tell you this, Crystal, I'm going to share this with you. Richard, my next door neighbor, right? They have a couple of sons that over the last 10 years, I've watched them grow up, right? From very young men in their early teens or 11, 12 years old to now they're in their early 20s, right? They know what I do, but I've never talked to them about anything. You know, we talk about lots of things, but never this subject. So they come over a few months ago and we're sitting right there helping me do some stuff in my backyard. And he goes, hey, man, Jimmy, I saw a UFO once. I said, excuse me, right? Just out of the blue, Richard, out of the blue. And he describes out in Palmdale at about 3 o'clock in the morning, he said, this is without any prompting from me. He said it looked like a black Imperial Star Cruiser from Star Wars, giant, caused a shadow to go across at 3 o'clock in the morning, blacked out everything in the city, couldn't see the stars. And he said that, and then it rose up and went straight up and disappeared. He said he expected the police and the military to show up from Edwards Air Force Base and start shooting at it. And nobody showed up. And he said he was scared to walk down the street at night after dark alone. And he just volunteered this story out of the blue. Now, he could have told me this anytime, but it took him 10 years. But people are, like you said, people are comfortable today to come out and talk about their experiences.
Stories like that are impossible, and they are everywhere.
This is Coast to Coast AM. I am your host, Jimmy Church. Tonight, it's Richard Bleepin' Dolan. It is Friday night on Coast. We've got all of the phone lines open, and we will get to those calls next. I'm your host, Jimmy Church. This is Coast to Coast AM. Welcome back, Coast to Coast AM. I'm your host, Jimmy Church, and I want to remind everybody, you can follow me on Twitter at J Church Radio, and you can follow Richard Dolan at Rich Dolan right there on Twitter. Richard, I've got a whole lot of calls in front of me, but the good news is I've got JT trucking in Indianapolis, my hometown. So let's go to, if you're ready, let's go to JT. Yeah, let's go to JT. JT, are you safe out there?
Sure am. How you doing, Jimmy?
Did you just blow the horn? That's what I'm talking about. That's what I'm talking about. JT, welcome to the show. What have you got for Richard tonight?
So I was wondering if there's any like false flags in this that he sees. And the one other, the big question I have is we aren't seeing, I'm not seeing Indianapolis is on track for murders and shootings above Chicago this year, and those have gone. I mean, that's not being reported. So is this like a paradigm shift? Is this the collective consciousness that, you know, this, I hope, does he feel it's going to be permanent like this, you know, where we're all getting along better?
JT, that is a great, fantastic question. And Richard, before you answer, here in Los Angeles, you know this as well as anybody. Out here, we are so accustomed to helicopters with searchlights and sirens. Those have all virtually disappeared here in Los Angeles. It's a very eerie feeling.
Wow. Well, there are two questions in there. And where, you know, is there a false flag potential with the UFO situation? And one thing I would definitely say is there's been lies associated with the UFO situation since the beginning, and spin control and propaganda. All of that, absolutely true. False flag, as in a fake, I don't know, fake alien invasion, that type of a scenario. I've never been a believer in that. I've actually never been on board with that idea. Other people are. I've never seen the logic or the logistics, how to pull it off. It's not that easy. People say, oh, yeah, just have a hologram out there and scare the hell out of people. I just don't think it works anywhere nearly that easily. So I've been very skeptical of that. I would say this. Whenever there is an open acknowledgement of extraterrestrials, guarantee you that there will be a military-industrial complex that will promote that to be as much of a threat as possible because they all want the dollars.
Thank you.
If that's a false flag or not, I'm not really sure if I would call that a false flag.
Thank you for the phone call, JT. And again, we thank you for all of your tireless hard work. And just be safe out there, man.
Okay, go Beckley Tepe.
Go Beckley Tepe. Go Beckley Tepe. What is going on? Oh, man, there's too many people out there that don't understand what just happened, but I really enjoyed it. Let's.
I do think we're in the process of a shift, a transformation.
Yes.
But I'm not sure how I feel about it. I don't really know that it's a permanent shift. We'll all be nice to each other. Not sure that I'm seeing that. But what I am seeing is a different kind of a shift in which we're going to be corralled into a very different kind of humanity. And I brought up this Bill Gates thing. I just want to mention this before I lose the thought. This is just in today's news. He thinks we're all going to need digital certificates to prove who gets vaccinated, who received a vaccine. And this is just typical. It's like this whole movement toward shipping, toward getting information out of every one of us so that we're utterly, utterly observed, controlled, bagged, and tagged. And maybe that's unavoidable. Maybe it isn't, though. But what's happening is if we see it's moving really fast in that direction. And
is that where we put our right? But is that where we absolutely have to put our foot down?
I don't know, because what's happened is this. I mean, people will say, "Well, they unleashed the virus in order to create this police state." And I mean, maybe that's true. I don't think that's the case, but I do see a lot of opportunism here, absolutely. But what's definitely going to be the case is, like, we've got. This is a dangerous virus. This is not fun and games. So when people say, "Well, I'm not going to get a vaccine. I'm not going to let them touch me with that." Well, it's easy for you to say that now, but the fact is, this is actually a truly dangerous potentiality. And so it's like they've just forced this on us. You know, they basically we're in a position where the people do feel helpless. And there's two ways to look at that. You can say, well, it's because it was forced on us and it's all a ruse. But you can also say, yeah, but like this is actually genuinely dangerous. So it's a really tough spot to be in. And what I just see is we're moving down this road. Like the end result is going to be one big ant colony.
Yeah, and I don't understand if you're going to have these various conspiracy theories out there about this being deliberate, what is the end game of crashing financial world markets to the tune of $5, $10, $15, $20 trillion? That just it doesn't play into the conspiracy.
If you're an invasive ET species, maybe all of that's fair game, right?
Yeah.
I'm just putting that out as a possible speculation. I don't know, but I do think we're really fools if we ignore the fact that this happened blocks away from China's only Bio-4 laboratory, Level 4 bio laboratory. I mean, it's a high level place, and it just so happened to be right there. And yet, no one in the corporate mainstream media is willing to look at this in a serious way. I think anyone with a brain in their head's got to be looking at this as a likely. I mean, that's a hell of a coincidence, and I just don't think that's a coincidence. And yet everyone's afraid to talk about it.
Well, it's going to take us a few months.
Human engineer.
Yeah, it's going to take us a few months, just like it did with 9/11. You know, we had to go and unravel that. The impact and you know, the immediate news was something that we had to figure out. But sure. Over time, we were able to look back, and that I'm going to stick to my guns with this, Richard. A few months from now, we're going to look at December, January, and February totally differently.
Well, probably, yeah. But with 9/11, you know, the analogy is a good one, because with 9/11, it's been 20 years into that nightmare, and we still don't have official truth on 9/11.
That's
sure,
exactly my
the
point.
The world realizes you've been lied to, but the official story is still an insulting lie foisted upon us that we're supposed to believe. And 9/11 has we've always been lied to about. And it could very well be, I think this is probably lining up to be the same type of thing with coronavirus.
Okay, Richard, East, West, or first-time caller?
Oh, let's go east.
Let's go east. John in Youngstown, Ohio. You're up next on Coast to Coast. Welcome.
Thanks. I was interested in the guest discussion of the control of the media devolving down to about six mega multi-billion dollar owned corporation. Just a few decades ago, people were complaining in outrage that 40 controlled all the media. And I don't think people in their daily habits of referring to CNN, Fox, and NPR and the rest of it realize that this is a highly controlled media. It interlocks with the military-industrial complex, which was mentioned by the last caller at the board of director levels. It's been massively infiltrated by CIA propagandists that was brought out by the Pike and Church committees in the Senate and the Congress when there were a couple of honest congressmen in those days, and got the CIA to admit that it secretly was got the collaboration of just virtually the entire mainstream media to plant propaganda justifying wars and militarism around the world by the United States. And the secrecy you mentioned, which I think is becoming acute, even more acute than before, is only somewhat dissipated by a couple or a handful of needle in a haystack internet sites of people from the CIA and the Pentagon who have been got a conscience concerning the crimes and their lies and their disinformation over the years, and have become whistleblowers. But they are completely totalitarianly censored by the media, and the only ones that are sucking our face every day are the yes men, a propagandist from the CIA and the Pentagon.
Well, John, let me jump in. So I want Richard to have a chance to respond. And the point that I would start with, Richard, is that shows like this, like Coast to Coast or Fade to Black, are shows that are not manipulated by anybody. And you and I are allowed to report, comment, and research on our own without any influence. And it turns out that it is the independent media out there, like ours, that is probably the only true source for truth, isn't it?
That's absolutely right. I really want to thank the caller, John, it is, for your comment. I agree with every single word you said. Every single word you said was absolutely true. And I want to mention a couple of names here. You mentioned the consolidation of media from several decades ago. There was back then a very fine book called The Media Monopoly by a gentleman named Ben Bagdikian, who analyzed the consolidation of major media up until the 1980s, and he got it down to, like, I think it was 50 major companies, which that was the media monopoly of his book. And we've gone from 50 now down to six, as you mentioned. The system of control is, among those major media, absolutely complete. There is no resistance within that system at all. And it is the independent media only that has actual truth, and that's under assault every single day. I want to mention two names of very important intelligence community whistleblowers that everyone should know. One is Ray McGovern, formerly of the CIA, and he is a great man. And the other is William Binney of the NSA, and ditto, he is a very great man and an actual American hero, both of them. People should know who they are. They should know what they're about. They should listen to them. They're out there, and their words are important because they provide deep analysis of what the U.S. intelligence community is. And there's also good financial analysts who really look at the criminal nature of our global banking system. I'm a big fan of Max Kaiser. I think people should listen to him, frankly. There's others out there that are good, but we've got a few, and there's Jimmy, and there's the people at Coast. There are folks out there who are talking truth to power, and they are so valuable. We got to protect them.
Thank you for the phone call, John. And now let's go to Steve. Let's go out west. Steve in Las Vegas. You're up next on Coast to Coast. Welcome.
Hi, Jimmy. Hi, Richard.
Hi, Steve. What have you got tonight?
Well, I've been gathering UFO footage for about 25 years, and it started with the footage during the eclipse in Mexico, where that disc was videoed in four different vantage points. orange, and you could see the disc spinning. So ever since I seen that, I start collecting footage. My question is, why is footage not being the credit it's due? It's evidence. I got this video footage showing cylinder flying, saucers flying, clear in the day, not fake. And what is it going to take? What kind of, if I was going to court, I would take with some of this footage and government documents on UFOs to prove my case. I mean, what's it going to take what kind of footage are we waiting for?
Yeah, it's a great question, Steve. And last week, or maybe 2 weeks ago, Richard and I were talking about this exact subject over on my show, Fade to Black. Probably. Yeah.
Oh, no, right.
Fade yeah, Black, we did right. it on the right, air. Right. No, we did both. But anyway, Richard, what do we do about that for you when you look at footage or you're looking at images, and then we have eyewitness testimony, then we have the combination of the two? What do we do with that, and how do you look at it and define it?
Yeah, it's a good question. Footage has got to accompany a very compelling witness testimony account. It's got to have a good story, in other words. Because if it doesn't, then it's just a visual. And the problem with it is, you know, 50 years ago, researchers had the opposite problem, which was we don't have enough images. We don't have photographs.
Right.
Because it was hard. There was not everyone had a digital camera on them to take pictures, and it was rare. But now we're flooded with images or alleged images, some of which are hoax. We know that some are hoax, so that's problem number one. Others are taken with just really bad cameras, and you don't know what to make of them. But the good ones, you know, we don't really know what to make of them unless they get someone who's really qualified to actually analyze that video. And like, someone could show it to me, and I would think, oh, well, it looks pretty interesting. And I wouldn't really be able to give a technically proficient analysis of your video. Like, I'd like to be able to, but I don't have that skill set. And there's a few people who've got it, and getting them to look at that is difficult because, honestly, one of them said to me, I'm afraid to look at this because I know that everyone who sends me their video wants to use my stamp of good, my stamp of approval, so that they can go off and make money on it. Like, that's 9 times out of 10. So it's very difficult. Like, you've got this whole complex dynamic going on here with getting these videos out. But fundamentally, what people need, like, if someone out there takes really good video of these objects, you need to provide a clear story, an account, exact, like, where this was, when this was, and what happened beyond the video that isn't captured, and what other witnesses can be there. Like, we're in a situation where you need good video, and you need a lot more, because the fact is, as crazy as it sounds, people see a UFO video nowadays, and they're like, yeah, yawn, let's show me something else. Like, it's too good, it's not good enough, it's, you know, whatever. No video satisfies people. So what you need is more than that. You need additional witness testimony, and you need very detailed information to go with it.
Thank you for the phone call, Steve. Great question. And before we wrap up tonight, Richard, you do a weekly YouTube show with yourself and your wife, Tracy. What day and what time do you guys do this?
Thank you for asking, sir. We're on every Tuesday evening, 8 Eastern. And the show that you're referring to with Tracy and me is called Intelligent Disclosure. It's a live stream. We're live, like nothing's pre-recorded. It's just like live radio, except you got our pictures on there, our faces, and we'll do current or historical items of interest, typically pertaining to the UFO field. Nowadays, I alternate, and I'll do an Intelligent Disclosure with Tracy, and I'll also have an episode of the Richard Dolan Show that I'll air on my YouTube channel.
And then, of course, you and I have been on KGRA for, 5 years, 6 years, 7 years now.
Yeah.
And everybody can go and check that out by going to KGRA or RichardDolanPress.com. His YouTube channel, all the links are right there at Coast to Coast AM. Thank you so much, Richard. You and Tracy, be safe out there.
Thank you, Jimmy. It is always a pleasure. Thanks a lot.
This is Coast to Coast AM. I'm your host, Jimmy Church. We'll be right back.